All right, if I could have everybody's attention, I think we'll go ahead and get started now. If you would, I guess our first presenter is a person that needs no introduction, because it's me and I'm not going to do it, so. But I do need to introduce and acknowledge my co-author, and that's Harrison Ashley. We put this presentation together. This is something we really present at our gin schools, as well as some of the different ginning meetings. So we thought we would bring that here to the Beltwide Cotton Conference and give you an idea and get it in the records. I guess in some places it said managing for survival, best management practices. What we're going to look at is the overall state of the cotton ginning industry here in the United States. Here's kind of a record of something I've been showing and utilizing. This gives us the total bale production. These are running bales. And then the yellow line is a five-year running average. You see in 2014, we ended up with 15.9 million bales and a five-year average of 15.6. And unfortunately, in 16, which is the year we're currently in, I'm showing 12.7 million running bales. I think Robbie thought it might be closer to 15.9 or 12.9. So we'll see. We still got a lot of cotton in the field and some to be ginned. So the season's not over for 15. Here's a look at the active gins that we have. You can see the steady decline since 1980. Also the production that we have, or the annual volume that each gin is getting. 2014, we identified 601 cotton gins with a annual volume of 26,000 plus bales for gin. We're estimating, based on those figures I have, somewhere around 585. We're not sure of that exact number. We won't get that number from NASS until 16, May of 16, but somewhere around 21,000 bales per gin, which of course is no surprise to anybody. This was a very light year and very tough on many of our gins. All of them could use additional bales to work from. This takes a little closer look at the line that shows on the right-hand side. We got the total bales ginned, and that's the yellow bars. The line itself shows the number of gins that are operating, and you can see the steady climb. When we had the big years through 2004, 5, and 6, where we had 20 plus million bales to work with, the decline in gin numbers, leveled out. In fact, one year we had just a slight increase. But since then, it's been going down fairly steadily at that 580 mark somewhere. I just wanted to spread this out, and I showed this slide in a technology conference, and did have an error in it. We do have only 17 gins in Arizona, not 172, like the slide said. One thing, though, when we do have a combo gin, which is a saw plus a roller gin, it does have two gin numbers, so that doubles that. So that's why we see some of those numbers are really a little bit higher than what the physical plants are. Just to take a look at this, how it looks. Oh, I forgot to stop my timer. Harrison, you were supposed to do that. I got extra time. So anyway, this is a kind of a percentage looking at 2006 comparing that to our numbers of 2014. Overall, we had a minus 26%. The West really takes the biggest reduction, and there you see a 85% reduction in gins. And really us in the Mid-South, which I'm located there in Stoneville, Mississippi, we're seeing 63% reduction in gins. The Southwest, Southeast are really maintaining a lot of their gin numbers, a lot of their production capacity in there. And you can see the individual states. I've got those printed out. One thing we always talk about, competition, and I know that polyester is the big competition, but we also have competition from our neighbors. This shows you the different countries that are producing cotton, some of the largest ones, and then their production. The bars are their yield, pounds per acre. The line kind of gives their overall production. India and China are you know, right at nick and neck, somewhere about 30 million bales of cotton that they're producing. As I understand, it looks like India is actually going to increase over China this year of 2015. And so we'll see some indications there. If you go back and look at the, and I took this back, and I can't remember exactly what year I took this from, the yield or pounds per acre, you see China was really up there around 1,400 pounds per acre. India, you see, is less than 500 pounds per acre. United States, here, this is the overall, we're looking at somewhere about 850 pounds per acre. Pakistan, again, a little bit lower than we are. Brazil, Australia, look at Australia, which is averaging on this year of over 2,000 or 4 bales per acre. If we compare, break down the U.S. into our different states, we'll see that's comparable to California in that production area. And you can see the other countries in their production. So I guess the scary thing to me is you look at India, look at Pakistan, where they have quite a bit of acres, yet their production is not quite so high. If they just improve their technology, their management styles, they can even, you know, grow a lot more cotton in that system. We talk about best management practices, and in the thing it's talking is managing to survive. I like to go around and visit with gins and see the types of technology that they're putting into their gin to make everything more efficient. We all know moisture, and especially folks in the southeast, and I think the High Plains of Texas is learning more and more about moisture and some of the problems it causes. We know that the round module system is a very good system as far as protecting the seed cotton when it's on the ground from moisture. However, it's not a perfect system, especially when you harvest it wet. It does a very good job of maintaining the moisture within the seed cotton. And if it's too wet harvested, it causes problems. And so sometimes we see bales coming in, modules coming into the gin that have discolored, gone through a heat. This of course destroys the color of the cotton as well as the value of the seed. So moisture management is critical. Yesterday we had our John Deere folks talking about their new harvesting system. One of the proposals they have is putting a moisture sensor on that harvester. I think from a producer as well as a ginner standpoint, that's a great thing to have. I wish it would be here for the next production season, because it tells us really what the condition of the seed cotton is. I think we're going to have a presentation later on talking about that moisture. So it's really critical to the storability of the cotton, critical to the processing and management of the cotton. Other things we're looking at is air velocity, controlling energy monitoring, this sort of thing. Energy costs are, of course, are a big component of our variable costs when we're ginning, and so special attention needs to be taken on that. Any good gin has a strong maintenance programs, making sure that adjustments are done properly and timely. This is just one way to make sure that when the upcoming season you're ready to gin cotton and you can withstand and maintain that productivity throughout the whole season. Other things, moisture restoration systems. Again, we have to dry the cotton down to do a good job at cleaning. That's essential. But we also then, to get a proper bale press and reduce press operation, we need to add moisture back to the systems. I think the systems we have now are working very good. they have the capacity to add 1 or maybe 1.5% moisture to the lint. This helps, of course, with the bell press, reducing pressure there, and adds a little weight back to the bale and helps out to both the producer from that standpoint. The use of electronic monitoring devices, I think this is key. I was in one gin earlier this year. There was actually only, and they were running about 40, 45 bales per hour. There's 8 people in the gin. That's all there was. They had an automatic bagging system. They had one individual collecting samples, putting tags on the bales. Other than ginners standing at the consoles, observing everything, some folks back in the moat room, it was a very, very light, very, very minimal crew. And this is what technology can do for you. And so some of these gins are really adding everything they can. They do have monitoring systems up there. Their display shows that if there is a problem, they can address that problem before it becomes a big problem. Also, of course, the work with environmental and regulatory requirements, making sure cyclones are properly installed, properly maintained, and properly operated is essential in these operations. Education. Again, since I work in the area of education quite a bit, I think it's critically important. It's important not only to educate your workers and the gins on how to do a good job, but also the growers. We all know that it's essential to the better that we can get the cotton to the gin, the easier, the better job you can do in ginning it. And so education all the way to the producer, whether it's contamination issues, whether it's moisture issues, whether it's packaging issues, these things can help be resolved through a good educational program. I always like those gins that do have a pre-harvest meeting. They bring their producers in. They talk to them about some of the things they're doing at the gin, some of the things that they're doing with quality, and then encourage them to make sure they provide them with the best quality cotton that they can do. Safety. We had a good panel discussion yesterday in here. Safety training is critical. It's good to know that our ginning industry sees the value of that, that any lost time accident, any accident at all, is not only hurts their bottom line, but also has a personal effect to the families that are working with you in your gin. So keep that education, safety training going, and make sure that you apply all those rules that you need to. Lastly, talk a little bit about field to gin transportation. I guess I talked a little bit about that yesterday in a presentation. You know, with the new round module harvesting system, that's really changed the way we do business and the way we're moving cotton modules from the field to the gin. Rectangular module system, square module system was a good example of being able to decouple harvesting from ginning operation. And it allowed us to really progress in a lot of different areas. Now we've got a new system, the round module system, allows us to really transport more cotton more economically from the field to the gin, which is really expanding our range of gins. I think I put together a table, and when we're looking at 25, 50, 75 miles radius from your gin, we can see by using some of these new technologies, new trailers where you're carrying 8 or 10 round modules, to the gin, you can do that very cost effectively. And so that's what we're seeing happening in our ginning systems. The other thing we talked about is this precision farming, precision agriculture type of activity, and bringing that technology to the gin using the RFID tag that's embedded into the plastic wrap. I think there's a lot of good opportunities for inventory control for the gin. Once we also get weights and moisture contents tied to that RFID tag, I think it's going to help the ginner out quite a bit in a lot of different areas of being able to manage their production. It's also a value added type of activity that will go back to the producer. Basically, they can go back and look at their production systems. Each round module will have the field number, the producer number, the GPS location of where that cotton was harvested. So if you have problems like bark or high moisture content, you can trace that back and see what kind of management issues or problems that you have. So I think this is a real good thing, something we're going to see grow within the industry. Lastly, contamination prevention. You know, we all talked about it. It's really a team effort. We need to do everything we can to keep that plastic out. U.S. cotton, as you've heard many, many times, is one of the best, most contaminant-free cotton we have, and we just need to make sure we keep it because this is what our industry, our mills want to buy. And so we need to do everything we can to stay in that good status with them. So how do we survive, adopt new technology, education, incorporate the best management practices, support a strong ginning research program, right? Rick, Ed, Greg, we need strong ginning research in our gin labs, and we need support there from our industry. And also integration of processing, value added. What can the gin add back to the producer and make them want to come to their gin as compared to others? Here's some of the research program. My time's running out, so I'm going to skip through that. Education. We have the Beltwide Conference, and I see we have a lot of ginners here. That's great to have you here. Hope you're able to gain some ideas and take that back to your operation. We also have our gin schools in Lubbock, Mesilla Park, and Stoneville, and you see the dates there. And I think we officially have the dates set, and so we'll be sending those informations. Harrison will send that information out to you. Ginner certification, and of course, your regional ginning meetings. And also, one of the things that the National Cotton Ginners Association did is made sure that we do have an official approved tag that we do put on our Bell packaging material, and that's the Cotton USA. This helps to identify to our overseas producer that this is a premium product. This is a product you want to buy. This is a product that's going to perform good in your textile mill. I want to give a special thanks to folks at National Cotton Ginners Association for their support of my program, as well as Cotton Incorporated. That's all I have. Any questions?